and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned to the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up a study here in Acts chapter 1, dealing with the Great Commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ to his churches. First there to his church in Jerusalem, and of course, it's an institutional thing. It's not something that's for Christians alone. It's not just for the apostles, but it's given to the institution of his church, the third institution that our Lord has ordained. He's ordained the family, he's ordained government, he's ordained his kind of local New Testament churches. No such thing as a universal church. A universal church cannot do anything. And what folks claim today to be the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you go down and begin to evaluate it, there is no unity. But our Lord says in the churches there's supposed to be unity. And so, in his kind of churches there's to be unity. But there are those that claim to be and that some would include in the body, quote unquote, body of Christ, that totally disagree about the way sinners are saved. And how can there be that discord and disharmony in the body of Christ? See, there needs to be an understanding. Those who are saved are all in the family of our Lord. We're children. He's our Father. And whether here on this earth or in heaven in glory with our Lord. If you're saved, you're the child of God. But here for the time on this earth, there is his church, his kind of local New Testament church operating under the New Testament scriptures and having enjoined one of them by baptism, that's a distinction, that's a distinctive group that you're attached to. You can be a child of God and not a member of one of his churches, but you can't be a member of one of his churches and not be a child of God. And it's to his church that he has given this great commission that we're looking into here. In Acts, the brother Luke takes up to write to brother Theophilus about the things that Jesus did during this time of his ministry and taking up then to write about what he did afterwards and what the church did after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we read last time, our Lord met with his disciples. He raised from the dead, verse number 3 of Acts 1. Many infallible proofs is the testimony that Brother Luke gives. He met with his church for 40 days, and that was in the 50-day interval between the Passover and the and Pentecost, which Pentecost is talking about 50-day, a 50-day count. Which, interesting enough, seems to me to fall on the first day of the week. And so in that 50 days, for 40 of them, our Lord Jesus met with the disciples to teach them and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so he gave them a clearer understanding of the Old Testament scriptures and how he fulfilled them. He is alive. And there's no denying that he is alive, the only one to have ever died and by his own accord and power raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised to the dead by our Lord. The man being carried out a Nain to be buried was raised by our Lord. The little girl, Jairus' daughter, was raised by our Lord. But our Lord took his own life back after he was dead 3 days and three nights and lives forevermore. And so he's alive, Luke testifies. Verse 4 of Acts 1, and being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so I think this baptism we read over there chapter 20, of John, where the Lord said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's very plain. And you know what's very akin to the way it is in salvation. Salvation's a personal thing. The baptism of the Spirit is a personal thing. And it's not going to make a person writhe and wallow around and foam. But the Spirit of God is life, life in the believer. It's by the Spirit of God that we're convicted and shown our sins, shown Christ, and by which we believe. You know, faith is a gift indeed. And it's that operation of God that's talked about in Colossians. The operation of God, the great operation of God, where He can take a dead man, dead in trespasses and sins, and make him alive by Christ. And so we have the Spirit of God living within, and the Lord gave the Comforter to His church, and that's all very personal. You know, when someone's saved, it's personal. When the Lord gave His Spirit to the Comforter and to His church, it was personal. Okay? Now, let's compare that with baptism. When a child of God, a person is saved, becomes a child of God by virtue of salvation, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they want to declare that to the world, and they are baptized to identify with the gospel baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. Both ordinances given to our Lord's church, in the Lord's Supper, speaks of His death, to remember His death, and in baptism we see His burial and His resurrection. So the gospel is told in those two ordinances. And so baptism is a public thing. It's not a private thing. Baptism shows forth of the sinner that has been saved. They're saved already, and they're saved forevermore. Eternal life is what they have from the Lord. But they obey the Lord and follow Him in baptism and make a public declaration of what Christ has done for them. So it is at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God moves upon our brethren and fills them to where they can speak in 17, they can be heard in 17 different languages of men around the Mediterranean Sea. And not just languages where they live, but the languages in which they were born. See, that's only something that they would know. But the Lord does this in a public thing. And so the same way the Lord does with sinners that He saves, and then they're baptized, it's a personal salvation, and the Spirit of God indwells, and sinner is saved, and that's private, that's personal. That's the way it was with the Lord in John 20 when He gave His Spirit. And then publicly, Pentecost, the church is going to be sanctioned by our Lord. She's already in existence. She's already has operational directive and rules to operate under, and commands from the Lord, as Luke writes here, giving commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. The church is already functional and operating, but He's going to show the world. He's going to show Israel. He's going to show the world that this is where I am. And by the work of the Spirit, our brethren preached, the apostles preached that day, and they were heard in the language of those that heard their preaching. Why? Because this is where the Lord is going to be preached. This is where the Lord, the truth of the gospel, is going to be heralded and preached and go forth. And then, as we're going to see, authority for baptism and authority to teach and continue on to make other churches is going to be in the Lord's New Testament church. So He says, wait, and then He says, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And I think that was accomplished in John 20. And when they were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And so that's something that they're wanting. They're wanting national Israel to be brought back as a nation, kick out the Romans, and establish her again in the glory days of David and Solomon. That's what they desire. And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. And He said, fellas, not yet. And I can't tell you yet. And the Lord Jesus admits, as a man, He doesn't know when that's going to be. But it's going to be. But He doesn't know when it'll be, that those things. But He says, here's what you have to do. The commission. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in the Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Don't worry about national Israel coming back to power. What I have for you to do is, by the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, you're to be witnesses of me here in the region of Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, north, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. The commission given to who? The Jews? No. Given at the temple? No. Given to the apostles? Given to that first church? Yes. That's where the commission is at, is unto the Lord's churches. The great worldwide commission. Again, sinners who are saved by the Lord have indeed an obligation and a privilege to be a witness of their Lord into a lost and dying world. But it's only the Lord's New Testament church that has the authority and the commission from the Lord God Almighty to preach the gospel, the directive, not a suggestion, but the directive to preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize those who believe. That's what Jesus said, is you'll be the one doing the baptizing. And to teach to observe all the things that he's commanded to be done and operating in the church. And so it goes on to say here in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He ascended, and while they looked steadfastly, verse 10, toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And so there's a promise of the return of the Lord Jesus bodily, and we look forward to that. And that promise wasn't given to the apostles, but that promise continues on in the Lord's people and his churches and the saints until it happens. See, so that wasn't just a promise made just to them, but it's a promise made that Jesus is coming back. And as it turns out, it's been 2,000 years, and we're waiting for our Lord Jesus to come back, because our Lord Jesus is no liar. He will come back. Verse 12, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, and so that's where Jesus ascended from, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they continued on. They continued, and at this time they're waiting for the promise of the Spirit. I don't know if they know that it's going to be the day of Pentecost or not, but they're to stay there at Jerusalem until the Lord does what he's promised, and the power they'll receive will be the power to teach all nations. We'll see that. Or if you take your time, take the time to go ahead and take a look at chapter 2, you'll see what the Lord promised would be happens. Empowerment by the Holy Spirit, not the physical presence of Jesus, but by the Holy Spirit of God, the work of the Comforter, the work of the Spirit of God. And what do they start doing? They start teaching all nations. They start doing the first part of the commission that the Lord had given them to do. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.